Well, there's never been a more exciting time to be an Australian. That's the Prime Ministerial mantra, spruiking the opportunities on offer in the new economy, and it's become quite political, as we've been hearing in the news today. But while that may be true for many people, almost half the population lacks the literacy and numeracy skills to take advantage of those opportunities. That was the finding of the International Assessment of Adult Competencies conducted in Australia in recent years, soon after the Council of Australian Governments announced a national strategy with the aim of having two-thirds of the population competent in reading, writing and numeracy and able to navigate the digital world by 2022. Now, illiteracy is a largely hidden problem. People who can't read often go to great lengths to hide it. The fear of being found out, in quotes, can be profound. This morning we'll meet two people who are closely involved at the front line of efforts to boost adult literacy. Vanessa Isles is the manager of the National Reading Writing Hotline, which is funded by the federal government and run out of Sydney by TAFE New South Wales. And Daryl Quilliam, he's the mayor of Circular Head Council in northwestern Tasmania, and he's also the chair of 2610 Coalition, a volunteer network at the centre of Tasmania's adult literacy and numeracy strategy. The Apple Isle, of course, has some of the lowest rates in the country. We'll hear from Daryl and Vanessa in a minute, but first to Linda. Now, Linda lives in Tasmania, and she told ABC Open producer Lara Van Ray about her struggle with literacy starting in primary school.
The first 4 years of my schooling, I attended five different schools, and I had started to learn strategies even at that early age to not be conspicuous in the classroom. Unfortunately, along came a teacher who decided that not being able to read or spell at the age of nine, I was dumb, I was stupid, or I was just downright lazy, and he was going to make an example of that. I'd get the cane. I would see words backwards. I'd be looking at was, and I'd say saw. I would try and avoid any situation anywhere where I had to be put in a situation that there was the written word in front of me. I became a hairdresser, always wanted to be a hairdresser. Now, I'd make sure that I was busy when it came to have to write someone's name in an appointment book. I'd make sure that I was in the opposite direction. You know, it was learning those type of strategies.
Isn't that amazing? That's Linda, who was speaking to Lara Van Ray. With us now is Vanessa Isles and also Daryl Quilliam. Welcome to you both.
Good morning, Cassie.
First to you, Daryl. Does that chime with your experience?
Yes, it does, and it's been widely recognised in Tasmania that there is an issue. It is worse than most other states, but it's not a long way behind the other states. But we've got a statewide strategy to tackle the problem, and thankfully now the state government has been very supportive of what we've been doing down here with our 2610 program, and we've got funding guaranteed for 10 years, and so that's fantastic because we want to make people ready for work, and a lot of people have just been, it's not always young people, sometimes it's young people, sometimes it's older people, but they just don't have the skills and the literacy and numeracy skills to be able to get work and to be able to be ready for the jobs that are presented to them.
Mm. Now, this 2610 Coalition, it's a network of volunteers largely with, an approach about both literacy and numeracy. Tell us a bit about Circular Head. You're the mayor there. What's the issue with low rates of literacy and numeracy there?
Well, here about 7 or 8 years ago, we did an audit, a work audit on, went around businesses to find out in our community what was actually lacking by the business people, and I blame business people a fair amount for this because I don't think that they've contributed enough to education to actually let the education people know what we really want. And so what it showed that literacy and numeracy was a real problem for people with going to work. And so through our CHEDIC, which is Circulate Education and Trade Training Committee, which we've got education people on that, we have university on it, we have job agencies on it, and we have business people on it as well. And so we decided we needed to tackle it. And so 2610 is all about partnerships with various people in our community. And so through the partnerships that we had, we put in for a 2610 funding, and we actually got that. And so we did a lot of different things and working at the digital hub mainly.
What's the digital hub?
The digital hub, we've got Circle Head, or Smithton was one of the first places to have NBN on. And so we, part of the NBN, we found that some people didn't really understand how to operate the modern technology that we were faced with. So the digital hub was all about bringing people in and showing them how to be able to operate the modern technology that we have. And part of the problem with adult literacy and numeracy is that they don't know how to actually operate the this equipment.
And that's a particular, well, I mean, the irony of it is once you can do that, the whole world is out there waiting for you and all the opportunities for learning things. Now, Daryl, you're a former dairy farmer, and in this current job as both mayor and advocate for literacy, you go around and visit a lot of people in the farming community, I understand. What are some of the problems that they talk to you about?
Well, what the issue again is that dairy farming, or all farming, has changed, but in particular dairy farming, where going back, because I've been a dairy farmer before in my former life, and you found that you just get up and just do the work, and farmers are really good at just getting out of bed and milking cows and whatever. But now we have to do a lot of budgets and again, get on the internet to find a lot of things, and that's where people actually are struggling. They can milk the cows and they can do the farm work, but they haven't got the ability to be able to, or not all farmers, haven't got the ability to be able to use the modern technology that we have. And so, and some of this starts at a very young age, and so a part of our program was actually to start from the cot till death, if you like. And so we're working with HIPPY, which is a program for preschoolers as well, and getting people to read books to their children, especially fathers, because that's been something that, again, is lacking in our communities. And so we start there, but with our dairy farmers, it's more about the technology that there is available, and it's not being utilised, nothing like the potential that it should be.
Yes, I imagine there's so much information about prices and, well, everything. What does HIPPY stand for? That must be an acronym.
It is now. I haven't got in front of me, unfortunately. but it's all to do with...
help in with something.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Interaction... is the I know that, but I yes. Home interaction, but it's all about looking after our kids, and because of breakdowns in families and whatever, we've just found that that starts from a very young age, and we want to start there, but we want to help those that are older as well.
Yes, and this is an intergenerational issue, clearly. We'll get someone onto that acronym and we'll come back to it. Now, we're talking with Daryl Quilliam. He's the Mayor of Circular Head Council in Tasmania and part of this push. And also with us is Vanessa Isles. Now, you're the manager of the National Reading Writing Hotline. Welcome, and tell us what that really is.
Thanks, Cassie. Well, the hotline is a free referral service for adults anywhere in Australia who want to improve their literacy, numeracy, and, as Daryl mentioned, the digital literacy. So we're funded by the Federal Department of Education and Training, and people can from anywhere can call us, talk to us about what it is they're really looking to improve, and we have experienced teachers on the line to speak with them. And then we have a database of courses everywhere from all areas of literacy, so TAFE courses, community courses, private provider courses, and people can discuss what it is they're after with a teacher, and then we can make some recommendations.
Now, having a teacher on the end of the line is a relatively new thing. Previously, it was a call centre where people were referred to a service that was near to them. Tell us about this, the idea behind getting teachers on the phones there.
Well, the hotline's been around for about 20 years, and initially it was started with teachers. And then over the years, they sort of moved to this call centre. And what we found by bringing teachers back on again on the phone was that they had a level of sensitivity with the caller. They've been in the classroom. All the people that are working on the phone lines at the moment have been in the classroom for a long time. So they're very familiar with the kinds of people that call and very aware of the issues, the embarrassment and the stigma attached to not being able to read and write.
Because making that phone call is very difficult for some people.
Very difficult. And we do say to people that, you know, that we really commend them for making that call, because often it is the most difficult call they've ever made in their life. They may have hidden this problem from their friends and their family for the last 20 or 30 years. The first call I ever took was from somebody who was in his 70s. He'd not mentioned to anybody that he couldn't read, and his grandkids were asking him to read them stories. Aww. It was heartbreaking. And I thought, okay, I'm feeling quite a sense of responsibility now that I'm going to find this man, make him feel very comfortable, explain to him the sort of, if he's going into a classroom, what to expect. It's not going to be like school, especially his schooling experience. It's very different. Huge level of camaraderie amongst the students that are there. Everybody's there supporting each other, and the teacher will really understand your needs. So,
A real ingenuity that people have had in getting around not being able to read. Does that, do you hear stories that surprise you?
Oh, look, Linda's story was just, it's perfect. And I mean, again, I really commend people in that situation with poor literacy skills that are absolutely terrified of being caught out, and who manage to find all sorts of inventive, creative ways to cope. So, you know, we've had, yeah, I mean, look, I can't begin to tell you how many people I've spoken to that have, there's a woman that rang us last week that actually works in a bookstore, and she has very, very low levels of reading, and the time when she's really worried about being caught out is when she has to write down people's name and address if there's a book not there, and she's just so fearful when she asks people to spell the name that she's going to miss something. And but, you know,
I wonder if she was drawn to a bookstore.
Interesting choice. But, you know, it's now forced her to really confront, and that may be well what's happened. She's just been forced to confront her issue now and has joined a class to improve her skills.
Mm. Let's hear more from Linda in Tasmania. This is the moment where Linda realised that she really needed to learn to read.
I wanted my daughter to be able to have every opportunity in the world she could possibly have. And it had to start with me. That meant being able to learn to read and write.
How did you teach yourself?
Well, I got the little golden books that most people, I'm sure, in Australia would know of. And I started one sentence at a time. I started with a story that I knew. So it really was the Three Little Pigs. And we all know that story. So I started with a story that I knew, sentence by sentence, word by word. I took 4 days just for the first page, and I think there was something like about 5 sentences. And so then I mastered that book, and that book became the book that I'd read to my daughter at, you know, that night. And then I'd go on to the next book and the next book. So by the time she got to 18 months of age, I had myself quite a nice little repertoire of golden books. That I felt quite proud about, that, you know, the poor child wasn't getting a repetitive The Three Pigs for the rest of her life.
Oh, good on her. Isn't that amazing? And proof, of course, that not being able to read is no reflection of ability or intelligence or general life skills. It's just something that may have missed out for some circumstance. Daryl, when people do try to read, how long do you find that it takes to sort of get up and running?
Generally, it takes 2 or 3 months. And I know that... The story from Linda is a fantastic story because I just relate that to some farmers who have to go and get forklift licences or loader licences, truck licences and some of this. When they go to read it, some people really struggle to retain it. And so depending on how bad the issue is, but it's a minimum of 2 or 3 months and it's often 6 to 12 months for that to... happen. And so and because you've got to realise with modern technology, people just don't read as much as they used to read, and that's a real difficult issue. And same as with maths and with their that can be a major issue as well, because
We've all got phones we can whip out and
yes.
Yeah, and I guess it's, you know, people do lament the fact that we're not sitting down at night and reading books like the way we used to.
And this is why the HIPPY program, and I have found what it is.
Tell us.
Home Interaction Program for Parents and Youngsters.
Oh, very good, very good.
And it's a fairly long one, that one, so I don't think you're going to remember it easily. But, yeah, my point is that, you know, if we can start with young, it helps, but we have to look at the gap which has been created over the last few years, I guess.
Mm. Now, I mean, Tasmania, there are some estimates that up to 49% of people have trouble reading. Now, that makes a really good headline, but it doesn't actually articulate the complexity of the problem that you're talking about. It can be a range of different issues. But the point you make about licences is interesting because... avoiding reading is one thing, but avoiding getting a license begins a real slippery slope into, I imagine, all kinds of, less than desirable ways around the law.
Yes, it is. And the unfortunate part of it is that what we've probably learnt out of the programs that we have is that some people haven't gone to get licenses because they are fearful of failing. And again, that's another issue, another side issue, I guess, of the whole program is that, and whether it's licences or whether it's other things, we think that people just don't want to drive because they're fearful of driving, but often it's not fearful of driving, it's fearful of failing and not being able to read it, and so therefore they don't get it. Now, I know when I'm 65 now, but when I got my licence, it was rather easy to get your licence, and... It wasn't there was no questions it was mandatory. There are now, and so a lot of people my age and or similar would really struggle to actually to be able to get the licences, and so therefore, rather than fail, they would rather not go and do it.
Yes, and I think that some of the testing to get your L plates, it requires you to do an online test in the registries. Now, to you, Vanessa, what do you make of that figure of, you know, these high rates? They don't really reflect the variety of different issues people have.
I think it is a very complex issue. I mean, when you look at the statistics like that PIAC report, it is easy to look at those figures and think, when I heard that, I thought, well, how are we all coping? How are we doing it? And Linda's given us some great examples of, you know, how she has. Look, I think particularly if you're looking in a workplace, it is quite complex because if you tested somebody on the skills that they need to do that job external from that workplace, they may get a low score. But in the workplace, they have all sorts of practices with the people that they work with that would assist them to be able to do that job. So it doesn't necessarily mean that people with low literacy numeracy levels are unable to do work. They're often extremely productive members of society who work very, very hard to compensate for their lack of skills. So, for example, if somebody, a kitchen hand, for example, you may look at that job and say, well, they need to make up 100 hors d'oeuvres, so they must have to count to 100. But when you actually look at that person doing that job in the position, they may put out 10 rows of 10. They don't need to count to 100. So there's all sorts of ways that people will combat that, and I think we just need to be mindful of that. Obviously, I'm in the business of wanting people to improve their literacy and numeracy, and at a time when, in their life, when they realise they really can't cope anymore, then it's great that there's a hotline service available for them.
Okay, so tell us more about this hotline, and we'll give the number in a moment, but what are people, what are they referred to once they go through that initial intake?
Okay, so initially people will call up, we'll explain to them that it's a referral service, which means that we're not putting them through a course, we're giving them some options for courses, and then it's up to them to follow through.
But what if they're like way in the bush or...
Yeah, well, look, I really welcome the opportunity to talk on Radio National, because I would like to really encourage callers from remote and regional areas to call us. If there's no provider or course available to them, there's certainly some fantastic online resources, distance education. Just because you're remote, it doesn't mean that you're not able to learn. And often, it can be the people that really need the help the most that are least able to access it. So I really would encourage anybody to call from those areas to help them. But we talk them through, what it is they really want to learn, what experiences they've had, discuss their schooling experiences, and then help them to find what would be the most suitable course for them.
Mm, okay, now that number, the National Reading and Writing Hotline, is 1300 655 06 1300 655 06. We'll pop it on the web page, and you can also find it in the phone book and online, I imagine, too. Thank you both for talking with us this morning about this really important issue.
Thank you, Cassie. I appreciate the opportunity.
And keep up the good work, Daryl.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. Let's just finally hear from Linda, our Tasmanian person who was talking to one of our ABC Open producers. This is where she's at now.
I'm now 56, and I have taken on the challenge to write my first book. And I've still got family members that are shaking their head and thinking, there's no way this can happen. But I'm now almost finished. I'm about 120,000 words down the road. And I've set myself a deadline for the book to be finished by the end of April. I'm going to have a complete manuscript ready to go.
There you go, publishers. There's a publishing opportunity for you if you're listening. Amazing stories there from Linda, who was talking with Lara Van Ray, one of the ABC's Open producers. Now, incidentally, on Away this weekend, they're also discussing this issue about some success being had in an outback Aboriginal community in New South Wales. This is the Away program on Saturday evening. It's a teaching method called Yo Si Puedo, which is Yes, I Can. It originated in Cuba, and it's being piloted in Wilcannia and Bourke and a number of other places, Brewarrina. Here is literacy campaigner Professor Jack Beetson, who's been overseeing the pilot program.
Literacy is critical to the advancement of any society. And when you look at Aboriginal people today, we're continually, we have strategies, policies and programs that are all coming under this badge of closing the gap. But the one gap that is an absolute necessity as a prerequisite to closing any other gap is literacy. And until we do that, the reports that keep coming back annually or biannually or whatever around closing the gap won't change, because the fundamental gap of literacy hasn't been looked at seriously.
There you go. It's such an important issue. Now, that number again, 1300 655 06, 1300 655 06, the National Reading and Writing Hotline.